Thank you. So, let's see what we gotta get to. Yes, so neither myself or my co-authors have any conflicts or relationships to disclose. Yeah. So, what I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about is the process and the kind of the challenge that the three of us, myself, Bill Ramis, even though it says William, he goes by Bill, and so I'm just going to call him Bill, and Crystal went through when we tried to work together to develop an approach to identifying targets for programming intervention and enhancements in a community in Indiana. And we all work from different disciplines, as you'll see, and what we came across is, I think, a challenge that a lot of groups have when they first get together and they're trying to figure out what are we going to do. If you read any funding RFP today from CDC, NIH, anything, about line three is going to say, we're really interested in team science and multidisciplinary approaches. The School of Public Health at IU is incredibly unique. We have a wide variety of disciplines that fall underneath it. And we get the same kind of thing told to us, like, you guys should be really working on developing these interdisciplinary frameworks to study health and disease prevention. And that sounds wonderful right up until you try to actually do something. And so we came across what we're calling and thinking about is the multidisciplinary challenge, which starts with the fact that we've all primarily been trained in a discipline that has frameworks, lenses, languages, data collection approaches, constructs of interest, terminology, variables. And when you are working with someone else who has roughly the same background as you, everything fits together into a nice puzzle. When you start getting people together, it's like when I tried to do a puzzle with my goddaughter last night, and it turns out she had like four puzzles in one box, and we couldn't really figure anything out. So how I'm framing the talk and how we're going to go through it is kind of like, this was our challenge, and then this is the process we went through, and then this was the kind of the resolution and where the project is at now, along with some lessons learned. So our specific challenge and where this came from, there's a community in Indiana which shall remain nameless because things did not quite go according to plan. And we're still trying to figure some things out and hopefully be able to continue working with them. Kind of reached out to Bill because he had some connections with some people in the city government and was like, you as IU, as the big state university and a school of public health, will you come and talk with us and help us think about how we can develop some programming and really support and provide a rationale for the youth-based programming that we already have? So this is a community where youth are experiencing cumulative disadvantaged, poor schools, lack of work opportunities, lack of recreational opportunities. The community itself is economically disadvantaged. And so there is, not a lot of positivity going on in the community. And they're really interested in trying to do good things for their youth. But they're also at the stage, I think, where a lot of communities are, where they've got a limited amount of funding and resources. And so they wanted to kind of figure out, where can we put our bang and get the best buck out of it? So Bill put together a team with myself and some other faculty from IU. We went and did a couple of fact-finding trips in the community, met with the city government leadership, met with education community leaders. And then at the end of that, Bill and I decided that we would kind of take that on the IU side. And then IU strongly encourages inter-university, inter-campus collaborations, i.e. they give you special money. So we started then looking around to find other people who were kind of in the same area at other campuses that we could partner with, and that's how we got Crystal involved. So we had this challenge, and we had this thing in the back of our mind. It was like, all right, we've got a community. They want to do some really good youth work. They already have a bit of an infrastructure, so what are we going to do? So our challenge kind of started at our very first meeting, where we had three people who were going to try to drive this with three incredibly different backgrounds. So I'm actually a family scientist. That's my background. I look at adolescent health through the lens of what goes on in their families and the social relationships they have. Bill studies leisure, is a leisure scientist. He studies recreation and leisure behaviors with an emphasis in aquatics. So how can people use aquatic environments to, you know, have fun and relax? And then Crystal is a community nurse, is her background, and she's really interested in things around injury prevention, nutrition enhancement. And we immediately, in our very first meeting, all came in with like a page of, this is what we want to do, and none of it matched. So I'm walking in there, and I'm like, well, of course we're going to target families. Like, why would we not target families? How you don't want to just start right with families? And Bill was like, well, we need to go back and look at all of the recreation spaces in the city. We need to go back and do a walking tour of the city and see where can the kids go? What do they have to do? And Crystal was definitely more on board with that than me. And so we had to try to figure it out. And so the first thing we did was we took a step back and we said, okay, we need to orient ourselves together in some way. So the first thing that we decided to do is like, all right, let's see if we can find a framework that'll take care of all of us, give us a shared language and a shared vision to go with. And so what we ended up with was positive youth development, which is the PYD. And what really drew us to this framework over several others, you know, such as maybe even a broader ecological systems model or a social development model, was the primarily, first and foremost, this emphasis on youth within context. So I'm going to give in a slide or so a very, very brief overview of positive youth development. And one of the underlying fundamental constructs in ideas is that youth exist within context. And those contexts both influence youth and youth influence them. And if you don't take the context into account, no matter what you do, you're not really going to see any changes. And when you're talking about youth within a pretty disadvantaged situation, that context is really important. I've done a lot of intervention development and a lot of program evaluation where context isn't taken into account at all, and programs that may otherwise be wonderful just don't work. The PYD framework also gave us an established description and criteria. There is a model of positive youth development. We use the 5C model from Richard Lerner and Tufts University. So it gives you a language that you can work from. It also gives you scales and the ability to assess baseline and have benchmarks to build on. It provides very malleable targets. So one of the cores of positive youth development is that you should expect change. And if you really target these positive aspects of youth well-being, then overall everything else changes and gets better. And then I happen to be pretty familiar with the framework. I teach a class on it. So that was also pretty helpful to get us going. Yeah. So the very, very brief overview of positive youth development, if you're not very familiar with it, it's really three elements. So we often think about positive youth development with the 5 C's, but really it is a developmental process. So Richard Lerner and the model that we're using is a developmental psychologist, and he looks at adolescent and youth development through this relational systems lens or developmental systems lens, and it's a way to explain and understand how people change over time. Then it's also a philosophy to guide programming, which for us was another really, you know, beneficial thing, because ultimately at the end of this we're hoping to be addressing programming. So if it is a way to do that and it gives really concrete suggestions on how that can be done, that makes it a really useful framework as well. And then the third part that we really often don't talk about is if an organization or a program can kind of meet certain criteria, we can actually label that thing as a positive youth development program. And that's some of the tag stuff from this morning that they were talking about fits within that model of there are things that we actually label and call positive youth development. programming. When you look at what does this assume from either kind of number one or number two there, again, it's that bidirectional context in person, person-context interaction. It views youth as agents of change within their communities. It's an empowering framework at its very core. And that was also something we were very interested in building on. It really specifies and says that adolescents and youth can change, that this is a time of plasticity or systematic change. You know, I think oftentimes we look at youth and we're like, oh, well, how you are when you're 14, you know, this is how it's going to be. You know, I have family members who have, you know, 12, 13-year-old children, and they just tell me, like, well, you know, this is what it's going to be. I'm like, not really. No, whole lot's going to change. And if you don't focus on that change, it might not change in the way you want it to. But there's a lot of room for growth here, and we can really actuate that. This idea that youth have positive strengths. You know, so positive youth development looks at youth as not a problem, but an asset, as a resource to be developed. And that was something we were also really interested in. And then I think probably most importantly, what often gets overlooked, is the framework in Richard Lerner's research and Velma McBride Murray's research really shows that if you address the positive things, everything else gets better. I think sometimes people look at positive youth development and they see it as like, oh, this is some sort of a trade-off. If we're going to focus on thriving youth, then we're going to somehow not be focusing on teaching them that, like, they shouldn't drink and drive and they shouldn't engage in these risk behaviors. But oftentimes what happens is when you help youth to thrive, they just do better overall. So it's really this very wonderful framework when you're able to put it into practice, and it can really be helpful, we found, in building these interdisciplinary collaborations. So just the last part. So there are several different models of positive youth development. We use the 5C model from Richard Lerner. I think it's probably the most prevalent. It's also, again, something that gives you a very clear focus in terms of terminology, targets, and measurement. We don't have to do a lot of that upfront work, which is very, very helpful. So here we're focusing on confidence, connection, character, and caring. And the idea is that if you can enhance these in youth, then they're going to be healthier than just the absence of, you know, disease or risk. Right? So they're really going to be reaching that point of thriving. And that's where we're really, I think, as a field, trying to move our science, is beyond just saying, oh, well, when the kid's, you know, not engaging in a risk behavior, they're healthy, or when they're an appropriate weight, they're healthy. And instead, trying to look more holistically and say, what we'd really like to see is youth just absolutely reaching their potential. Okay. So the first thing we did was we mapped ourselves, which was fun because I like to do structural equation modeling, and then I looked at this and I was like, ooh, that could be a model at some point in the future. And so we kind of had these 5 C's, and we were able to start to see overlap between ourselves. So we were all really interested in the connection piece to different degrees, and then I was more interested in competence. Bill was more interested in confidence, and Crystal had more of these interests towards character. But it started to, again, bridge those challenges of putting our own interests into a common language. So now we could think about, okay, well, what does competence mean in the terms of what we want to do with this project? What does connection mean? So once we kind of figured all of that out, and that took more months than it should have, we were able to kind of start to move to what we wanted to do next. Because we were, again, this was our invitation to come into the community and work within the community was open and broad. It was, we're interested in programs that are going to enhance the well-being of our youth. And that was it. They, you know, so at that time, everyone was interested in whatever you wanted to come up with, whatever you wanted to do. The program evaluator in me said, well, we got to start with a needs assessment. Because until we know what's already going on in the community, until we know where the youth are in these different constructs, in these different areas, we're not going to be able to do the kind of purposeful work that we want to do. So we developed a needs assessment plan. So we developed a new instrument for middle school students to complete. We started to put together meetings with youth serving agencies, with city officials, with the church and religious community within the city, and started to get that plan together. Our goal there was really to bring together, and what we were hoping to do kind of down the line was to put together some sort of a community-based coalition where we would have representatives from these different areas so we could all support one another. We also developed a pilot intervention program using their existing community recreation center. They were really interested in trying to be able to see is this thing that we spend a lot of money on enhancing the youth. So we put together a program, and it was very interesting because we put it in this youth development lens where what the city was really interested in was violence reduction. Would this reduce violence? And the way that we designed the intervention had absolutely nothing to do with violence. It was just, can we take kids and young adults and get them to go to the center and then track them and see what happens? And this was all great, and this was all about a year into the project of getting all this done. And then for our wonderful lesson learned, everything fell apart. We got all of our plans together. We were getting ready to roll out, and everyone stopped returning our phone calls. We couldn't get anyone on the phone for months and months and months, and still haven't. When we put this submission in last year, we were just about ready to go and do the needs assessment. And we were just about ready to start the pilot program. And then everything really kind of fell apart. And so we've had to put this on hold. We're hoping that we're going to be able to get back into the community, but also knowing that we might have to take what we've already done and go and try somewhere else. We've, over that year that we put that stuff together, developed quite kind of like an affinity for the community. So it was really hard when we stopped being able to get traction to go in and try to do some work. So where we're at now is we're back on the phones, we're back on the emails, trying to get back in touch with people in the community. But we've also gotten some interest from some new communities in rural southern Indiana, who are interested in taking a look at some of these things that we have developed and maybe partnering to do essentially the same project, coming in and doing a needs assessment for the youth and then helping to develop new or support or provide rationales for the programs that they're doing. So I will say that kind of the last thing off of this was when we went into the meetings, and I mean we had several meetings with community stakeholders and walked in and started talking about youth positively instead of a problem, we got so much more support than I think we would have if we had not. So, just to kind of wrap it up, even though this didn't quite work for us, if you are trying to develop some sort of an interdisciplinary collaboration and you are struggling with how do we make everyone fit together, I think looking at something like positive youth development as an orienting framework will help you put those pieces together. And then hopefully you will have more success than us, or maybe next year we'll actually be able to come back with data and results from these projects. Thank you.